I just want to share some thoughts with you. First, I'll share with you, if you were to follow me to my home church in Washington, D.C., you would think that I was related to everybody in the church. You would think that because as I'm walking around introducing you to the different members of the congregation, I would introduce everybody as Uncle So-and-so, Auntie So-and-so. And there will be about six different women. Then I would say, well, this is my mama, Sister So-and-so. And this is my other mama, Sister So-and-so. Here's my dad, So-and-so. And here's my other dad, So-and-so. I probably had about seven or eight different sets of parents and about 100 aunts and uncles in that church. The reason it was like that was because at the church that I grew up with, the adults took responsibility not just for their own children, but for every child who was a part of that church. I had the privilege of not just having one set of parents, but I had a large group of parents because every adult was invested in my life. Now, there's some good things about that, and there's some not so good things about that. The good thing about it is that you get a lot of gifts for your birthday and graduations and all that kind of stuff. Christmas was outstanding because you had all these parents who gave you stuff. But there was another side of that, because that meant you weren't just accountable to your parents, but you were accountable to all the other adults who were in the church. I remember one time I went through a season where I had learned some new words. And at school, I had started to use those words that were not appropriate for them that are sanctified and washed in the blood of the Lamb whose mouth has been sealed by God. But I had learned how to use those words, and I had become masterful at putting them together, and my attack was deadly. You got me up. Look at Dana going like this. When you got me upset, I put those words together, and I shot that arrow, and it would pierce you right to your heart. One day I did that to the vice principal because I got sick of him doing his job, telling me what to do. So I decided to call him a couple of things and tell him where he could go and how to get there. So he took me down to his office, picked up the phone, had put my parents on speaker and made me repeat to them what I said to him. Man, that was probably one of the worst days of my life. My parents are from down south, so I got home. My parents dealt with me the best way that they knew how to do. And it was over, so I thought. Then I get to church on Sunday morning, and after service, one of my other mothers comes to me and say, Timmy, how's school going? And I answer just like every other teenager answered, it's fine. Everything is fine. She said, are you sure everything is fine? And I knew then, she knew. I knew she knew. And I said, yes, ma'am, everything is fine. Well, I heard that you learned some words that we didn't teach you around here. Is that true? And I'm like, yes, ma'am, there are some words that I use. Then she said, Timmy, you have to remember this. When you go into that school, you represent your parents, you represent God, and you represent this church. Don't embarrass us down at that school. And it kind of set on me to let me know that my behavior impacts everybody who's connected to me. That when I go down to that school and show off, people get an opinion about my parents. They get an opinion about my family. They get an opinion about the church that I go to. So in that moment, I felt the weight of the responsibility to be more than just another kid at that school. But I was representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it struck me. Now that was, I learned that a few years later. In that moment, I was like, you know what? You ain't my mama. I'm going to do what I want to do. But it changed me somehow. And that's the importance of every adult getting involved in the lives of children, because it makes children accountable, not just to the parents. Can I say this, and I promise you I'll move on, but there were things that my parents would say to me, and I would say that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Nobody does that. But then a mentor or another adult would say the same exact words to me. And I would say, that person is brilliant. You are the wisest man ever. Huh? Because kids will hear things from another adult that they won't hear from their parents. This is the kind of environment that we are trying to create here at Fellowship Church. We want to make it so that at Fellowship Church, there is no such thing as a single parent. Hear what I'm saying. They're legally yours. They're morally your responsibility. But spiritually, they are our responsibility. See, I didn't just belong to my parents. I belong to the church that I went to. Every adult owned a part of the responsibility of raising me. And that's the environment that we're trying to create here at this church. And guess what? It's our responsibility. If we don't do that, we are guilty of spiritual neglect. If there was a code in the legal system, it would be called the spiritual neglect of a minor. Are you guilty of spiritually neglecting the minors that are in your midst? And so, very quickly, if we're going to do this, I recognize that there are three things that every child needs. And I'm praying that as we go through this, we will commit ourselves to these three things. Let me get through these three things, and then I will turn it over to the leaders of this program today. The first thing that every child needs is a teacher. Every child needs a teacher. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7 says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to do these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you are getting up." Before Facebook, before computers, before paper and pens, information was brought down from one generation to the next by a process called the oral tradition. The oral tradition emphasized the fact that it is important for the elders in the community to communicate to the youth of the community information about their history, about their culture, and about God. Every adult was responsible for passing down that oral tradition. So in this text, the children of Israel were told to give their children the information about God. Talk to them all the time about God. He said, talk to them about God at home. He said, when you are on the road, talk to them about God before you go to bed. You talk to them about him. And before you get, when you get up in the morning, you talk about him. We have to talk to our children about the requirements, what God has placed on us and what God expects for us. And we have to do it over and over again. Every once in a while, you need to have an intentional conversation with your children. When we talk about talking to our children, we're not talking about just how was your day at school and what you want to do this weekend or what you want to have for dinner. No, we need to have intentional conversations about what God requires of us and what God expects from us and the promises that God has made us. But the first verse here, he said not only that, but he says you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commandment. See, here's the point, then I'll move on. More is caught than taught. Hear what I'm saying? More is caught than taught. Kids pay more careful attention to what you do than what you say. If you say being committed to God is important, being faithful to your promises is important, being faithful in attendance is important, but you are not, you have taught them that those things are not important. Oh, it's tight, but it's right. Huh? Children look at our behavior, adults, and they follow our behavior. Every once in a while, they take to heart what we say, but everything we do, they pay attention to it. And so if we say it's important to keep your word, but we don't keep our word, then we have taught them it's not important to keep your word. The Bible says here, you do it, and then you teach your children to do it. Teachers give instruction and demonstration. Here is what you are to do, and here is how you are to do it. So every child needs a teacher. Second thing, every child needs a cheerleader. Every child needs a cheerleader. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Here's my point here. Children need an adult to encourage them and build them up. Every child needs an adult in their life who is encouraging them and building them up. Why? Because the world does everything it can do to tear our children down. The world is not friendly. The world is against our children, and they need a cheerleader so that when the world says you are ugly, they can say, oh no, baby, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were created in the image of God. You are the apple of his eye. God thinks you are beautiful, and I think you're beautiful. When the world tells our children that you can't do it, they need an adult in their corner and says, oh no, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are the above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. You can do it because you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And when they want to give up on their dreams and the world says there's no way it's going to happen, they need somebody in their corner saying, hold on, God is with you. He's going to bring you through, and with him, your dream is possible. They need somebody on the side pushing them, telling them they can make it. Cheerleaders are important. You go to a game, the whole responsibility of the cheerleader is to push the team on to victory, to encourage them to victory. When I was in high school and we went to the game and our team was behind or we had missed a play or something, there was this cheer that our cheerleaders would say when we needed to be pushed. They would say, don't say, oh Lord, I'm not going to do the whole thing. They, oh Lord. just give me my moment, please. Been practicing this all week. The cheerleaders, when we would be down and we needed that push, they would say, that's all right, that's okay, shake it off, shake it off. That's all right, that's okay, shake it off, shake it off. Huh? Thank you. Thank you. Every child needs an adult in their corner when life smacks them up against the head and disappoints them and they're failing and they're missing the mark and it seems like they're behind and victory is not coming. When they take a blow, they need an adult in their corner saying, baby, that's all right. That's okay. Shake it off. Shake it off. You can make it. When you run into that brick wall and you didn't get accepted to the college or the boy who like don't like you, you got to say to them, that's all right, that's okay, shake it off, shake it off. I wish I had somebody on those things when I gave up on, I wish somebody was in my corner saying, that's all right, Timmy, that's okay, shake it off, shake it off. I wouldn't have carried some of this stuff for so long. So every child needs a cheerleader. Can I just say this one point here and then I move on to my last point? On Wednesday night, we need some cheerleaders. Everybody can't be a teacher, but everybody can be a cheerleader. And you can't say, well, I'm not good with kids, and I don't know if I can work well with children. Only thing you have to do as a cheerleader, stand there, smile, clap, and say, good job. Who cannot do that? We just need some adults standing at the door so when the kids come in, they are met with a smile to greet them. And during game time, there's some adults in the corner saying, come on, come on, go, 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 go. You got it. You can do it. You can do it. And then at the end of the night, when we're giving out awards, we just need some adults in the audience saying, come on, you get it. Awesome job. Anybody can do that. You don't need a degree to do that. You don't need training to do that. anybody can be a cheerleader for a child. Last thing, children need a teacher, they need a cheerleader, and finally, they need a coach. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Really quickly, there's a difference between a teacher and a coach. A teacher gives information and demonstration. Information and demonstration. But a coach's responsibility is to look at a child or their player and identify their natural gifts and talents and train them in that gift and talent so that they can be the best player that they can be. So a coach is not providing information. The coach is looking at the information that is in that child and sees something in that child that that child does not see in themselves, and then commit themselves to work with that child and train that child to be what God has created them to be. We need some coaches around here who are willing to look at our children, speak in their lives and say, I see the hand of God on your life. I see what God is doing. I see the gift that you have, and I am committed to make sure that the adversary doesn't come in and train you how to use your gift for his glory. No, we're going to train you on how to use your gift for the glory of God, the one who gave it to you. We need some coaches around here. People who will coach our young people, see their gifts and develop it. Every child needs a teacher. Every child needs a cheerleader. Every child needs a coach. Here's what I know, and I'm done. Here's what I know. I am who I am today because of the village of adults at Greater Morningstar Pentecostal Church in Washington, D.C., who committed themselves to be my teacher, my cheerleader, and my coach. I'm 45 years old. I live 1,200 miles from my hometown. And yet, there are some adults that are still teaching me, cheering me on, and coaching me in this game called life. Here's my point. If you do it right, these young people will remember you for the rest of their life. I can name every one of those adults that took time with me to teach me, to train me, and to coach me. And here is what I want us to understand. That's the environment we are creating in this church here. Because these young people are important to God, and they are important to me. And that's why if I'm talking to an adult and one of these young people approach me, and some of y'all have experienced, that adult conversation is over. You got to put that on pause right now. I want to talk to these young people because I want them to know that they are important to me. And I want y'all to know that I'm not just your parents' pastor, but I'm your pastor also. These young people are God's priority. That's why I have allowed us to change our entire Sunday morning service today and make them the point of this service, because they are important to God and they are important to us. Can we clap our hands for these young people? I want us to commit ourselves. You may not be a coach. You may not be a teacher. Maybe you're just a cheerleader. Find out what you are to do and do it to the glory of God. Because there's a world out there that's not going to encourage these young people to follow the ways of God. Come on. And these young people get things we didn't find out about until high school or college. These young people know at 6 years old. Things we didn't see until late teenhood. These kids have already seen it. And we're comfortable with our agenda. The only thing we got time for is our kids. And sometimes we don't have time for our own kids because we're busy chasing things that don't, I'm not trying to preach today, but I need us to realize that these children are not the church of the future. They are the church right now. Oh, y'all don't like that. They are right now. They are God's priority right now. And if we don't fight for them, the world wants them. And I'm determined not on our watch. It won't happen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity today that you have given us to celebrate these young people that you have placed in our care. We thank you that we know you have a purpose and a plan for all of their lives, and nothing is done by accident, but you are intentional on everything you allow. We thank you for the opportunity and the provision that you have given us to be able to minister to these young people. We pray for every child, that as the seeds of your word are being planted in their lives, that another adult here and there will come, support them, encourage them, teach them, and coach them in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for every adult in this church that we will take on the responsibility that we have to be teachers, cheerleaders, and coaches for all of these young people, and so that every young person who walks through these doors knows that they are important to you and they are important to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands one more time?